4 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to kind of flick through some of the, mainly the whole chapter, but really want to focus on verse 12 for a minute. So if you get there, 4 Samuel 12. All right. 4 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. All right, well, the sun is shining, and I can see everybody's over this side. I don't know whether you're hiding from the sun or you're in the men's home or whatever, but there's definitely people missing. But what we're going to do is we're going to do a study, do a message on the Ebenezer Stone, all right? So that's what we're going to look at tonight. It's good to see Anya back. I didn't expect to see Anya, so that is good. Good to see Anya back. And we have some friends over from Wales who have been doing some building work for us up at New Hope, splitting one of our double rooms into two single rooms. So they're the two visitors with us. They are not new to the men's home. Just want you to know that. Make sure you shake their hand. They've been doing a great job up there this week. But let us begin. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at a passage of the Bible that... It's an unusual passage, I suppose, in that, you know, there's a turning point in people's lives. And that's what we're all about at church here. We're wanting people to come that are lost. We're wanting them to get saved. And we're wanting there to be a turning in their life, that they go from living one way to, in a sense, living a different way, that God saves them and changes them. And they go from living a lost life to living the life of a saved believer, and that's what we're kind of aiming at and New Hope as well. But in this passage, we're going to, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 6, you'll find that the children of Israel basically are warring with the Philistines, and what happens is the Ark of the Covenant gets taken. And when the Ark gets taken by the Philistines win, the Ark gets taken, Israel aren't right with God. And the Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence with his people. So when that's gone, these people are in real trouble. It's like God has left them in a sense. And all through chapter 6, you will find that the Philistines are plagued from different things because they have the Ark and God's against them and God's, in a sense, punishing them for having the Ark. So they hatch this plan to build a cart. They build some... they put some gold things as an offering on the Ark, and they put the Ark of the Covenant on this cart, and they get two bulls or two oxen. They send it off. And anyway, it ends up at a guy's house that we're going to look at in a minute. And, you know, when it ends up there, it ends up in a godly fella's house, and it stays there for a long time, a number of years. And we're going to kind of catch the story at that point. But we're going to look at verse 12. So if you look at verse 12 with me there for a minute, it says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hereunto had the Lord helped us." Now, I don't know about you, but every day I need God to help me. I have to put up with them lads up in the men's home. So and that's just the staff. So every day I need God's help. And I think we all need God's help to be the type of people that God wants us to be a Christian, to live the Christian life on a daily basis. We need God's help. And when in this situation, when Samuel put this stone here between Mizpah and Shen, what he does is they're drawing a line in the sand. God had moved in their lives. And what he's doing is he gets this stone and he places it at this point where there's been a moving of God. And, you know, what they reckon is they reckon that they wrote the word Ebenezer on it. And what it means is that God had hereunto helped us. So that's what's going on in the story. If you go around and you visit some tourist attractions around the place, you will find that, you know, markers get placed commemorating events that happened maybe in history or whatever. You know, if you look even in up at New Hope and you go into the garden, Derek has designed a lovely place that there was a young girl that died in the lane that runs up the side of New Hope. And our family put a little stone with her name and stuff like that. And now it's in our garden and whatever. But it's just a place where they can come and remember their sister, their daughter or whatever. I went over to Berlin last year with Claire, and we went to view the Berlin Wall, and it runs all the way through Berlin, and you can go to it. And we went to a place called Checkpoint Charlie. Did you ever hear of that? Checkpoint Charlie. It's in all the movies. It's where they would exchange spies and stuff like that, right? I think it's more exciting in the movies than it is in real life, to be honest. It's a little hoo, and a couple of guys dressed up in fake uniforms ripping the tourists off. But that's what it is. But when you go there, there's a plaque, and the plaque tells you this is Checkpoint Charlie. It tells you the dates, and it kind of tells you what went on there. You know, it's something that, you know, people can look to and find out the story that there's been an important work happened here. And it's the same in the Bible. When you read your Bible from cover to cover, you will read stories like Jacob in Genesis 28. And he uses the stones that he had for a pillow, and he builds a place. He builds a pillar, and he calls it Bethel, the house of God. In Joshua chapter 4, you'll find Joshua setting up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River, as well as taking stones, 12 stones from the Jordan, and setting up another, in a sense, memorial place beside their camp as they were going into Canaan. And in 4 Samuel 7, Samuel is doing the same thing. God had moved, and Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and the name of it was Ebenezer, saying, "Hereunto the Lord had helped us." So here we have this story. And Samuel setting up this stone really because of what had just happened. And the name Ebenezer means hereunto the Lord had helped us, or the stone of help. And for each of us to have a place, or, you know, a place in our minds, a place in our lives where we can come back to, maybe where we got saved, or maybe where God turned us around, or maybe where God spoke to us at a time. Just a place to go back and focus and remember what God had done. That's a really important thing to have. And the Ebenezer stone, when Samuel's putting her in there, he wanted people to remember what God had done. So often we forget what God had done. You know, we just had a missions conference. I very much enjoyed the message and the preacher being over and the great need, and I suppose having him here and talking about Muslims and Islam, and then we have the situation in Manchester this week, so it's very timely, the great need that's out there. But you know what? Quite quickly we can forget about the messages or God speaking to our hearts or the things that God has done for us. So to have a place where we go back to is really important for us, because it's that place when the devil comes calling that you can go back to, and you can remember, this is what God has done, and this is when he done it. And I remember that night where I gave my life to God, where I rededicated my life to God. That place, you know, that, we'll skip down to, or go back to verse 1 and 2. We'll have a look at them. And it says, "And the men of Kirjath Jearim came and brought the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abimadad." And he was a really, really godly guy, and the ark ended up in his house. He looked after it and sanctified Eleazar to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while they abode in Kirjath Jearim that it was there for a long time, and it was 20 years, and the house of the Lord, the house of Israel, lamented after the Lord. So after a while of Israel being in sin and being away from God, you know, they started to recognize their need for God. They started to recognize that they needed God. So this time in their lives was a real place of, it was a time of repentance for them. They had been distant from God. They had been running from God. They had been doing their own thing. And the Philistines had been beating them. I mean, they were in trouble all the time. You know, the Philistines were dominating them at this point, and things weren't so good. So when you're looking at you'll find that in chapters 4 to 6. But in chapter 7, we have the ark being brought back, and it's being brought back after a number of years, and about 20 years. And I suppose when you're looking at the condition of the Israelites and how bad they got, you know, they were following after gods. The Bible says strange gods in verse 3, the gods of and Ashtaroth. You know, they were just following after, doing their own thing, going to the next fad that was out there, going to, you know, just serving anybody else but God. And Samuel spake unto them all, it says in verse 3, unto the house of all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So what was their heart's cry? Well, their heart's cry was, we need to get out from under the Philistines. We're being dominated by the Philistines. We need to get some help. You know what? Samuel's the prophet. He's God's man, and he tells them what to do. You know, this is the very same advice that we have to give anybody else that's been dominated by any sin. You need to get your heart right with God. You need to return unto the Lord. For those Christians that are maybe gone astray and things are not so good, it's about getting their hearts back unto the Lord and starting to serve him again. He's the one that can deliver us out of hand of whatever the situation is in your life and my life. You know, Samuel's call was for the people to return unto the Lord. You know, the people had turned away from God. They were, we would call it backslidden. They were gone away from God. They were gone back to their old ways. And, you know, the ark had been taken from them. They had lost the ark many years before that. And in a sense, that was the symbol of God's presence for them. You know, it seemed like God was so far away. And when you're not doing well, doesn't it seem like that? You know, people telling you to get right with God and get close to God. Sometimes when people say that to me, I'm like, but how do you do that when God seems so far away at times when you're not doing well? You know, so we need God's help to come back. We just have the heart to want to do it. And, you know, Samuel's telling them, prepare your hearts and God will deliver you out of hand of the Philistines. You know, the story is a reminder that when we go away from God, when we get backslidden, when we walk away and we're not doing well, you know, God can't bless us, God can't be with us, and it does seem like he's very distant. You know, you'll know yourself if you've attended church for any amount of time that people fall away, people walk away, people leave church, they fall out with God and, you know, they don't do so well sometimes. But they can always return. Look at the end of verse 2. It says, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. That word lamented, we don't really use that word anymore, but it means to groan or mourn. They had gotten to the place in their lives where they were fed up with the way they were going. And they were crying out, they were groaning after God. You know, they were unhappy, they were miserable. And that's always the case. See, if you're a Christian tonight and you're backslidden and you're not doing so well, isn't it that you become really unhappy and miserable? And sometimes you will do stuff to make yourself feel happy and to be that, but that will never satisfy. It will never meet that need that God has in your life when you're away from him. In Proverbs 14:14, it says this, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You know what? You get what you want in a sense when you're walking away from God. You know, Solomon is basically saying here that when you're backsliding, when you're walking away from God and you're doing wrong, it catches up with you. You know, in Jeremiah 14:7, the Bible says, O Lord, though thine iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backsliding are many. Backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. So when you're backslidden, you know, oftentimes we can get to the place where we blame God, and we blame him because he's not there. You know, and Israel, in a sense, God wasn't there for them, in a sense. God had been, you know, they had lost God, but they'd lost God because of their actions. And you know what, Samuel was telling them how they would get God back, but they were needing to get their hearts ready. They were needing to return unto the Lord. Their condition where they were miserable because they were away from God. They weren't happy. They weren't finding happiness in the gods that they were searching after, in the gods that they were serving. They were miserable. God can leave such a void in our lives that nothing else can meet that need. And, you know, we just can't fill it. No matter what you try to fill it with, drugs, alcohol, relationships, you know, whatever it might be, you'll just never be able to fill that hole. You know what Samuel tells them in verse 3, to return unto the Lord. You know, their hearts were so far away from God. Samuel's encouraging them to rededicate themselves to God. You know, if you're not doing well and you want to have a turning in your own life, let me encourage you. That is one thing you should consider, is a rededication of your own life. It's not getting saved again, because if you've been saved and you're really saved, you can't get saved again, okay? You get born again the first time and that's you. But you can certainly rededicate your life to God. And some of us need to do that, I'm sure. And some of us will find that we do that over and over again in our lives as things, you know, fall away, as we, you know, lose that flame, as we lose that fire, that we need to refocus and rededicate and recommit and get moving again. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asheroth and served the Lord. What's the last word? Only. You know what? Only. What does that mean? They started putting God first. You know what? If we would just put God first, one of our principles in RU is, if God's against it, so am I. If we would put God first, it would totally change our lives. It would totally change our lives. And I mean God first in everything. It's fine saying I put God first in words. It's very much different than actions and deeds and thoughts. See that person, Ashtaroth. I was looking up Ashtaroth today. And Ashtaroth in demonology, when somebody starts saying demonology, all the ears prick up and they're wanting to know what this is. So Ashtaroth in demonology is the great duke of hell. In the first hierarchy with Beelzebub and Lucifer, he's thought to be the first part of the evil trinity. He is a male figure and mostly named after the Mesopotamian goddess Ishihar. So not sure what that means, but that's what I read today. You know, these people that were the Israelites, they were heartbroken. They needed God. They fell before God. They repented of their sin. They cried out to him. They got rid of their old sinful ways. They served the Lord only. They returned. That place that the Ebenezer stone went down, that was a place for them of repentance. A place for them where they came in their sin and they turned from their sin and started walking with God again, started to serve God again. Jeremiah 3:22, it says this. It says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. It's an interesting way of putting it. It says here in Jeremiah that I will heal your backsliding. I will heal your sinful ways, in other words. You know, it's just a good place to come when you're not doing well. You know, sometimes when you're not doing well and you do a verse 4 there and you return to God, you put away your old sin, you get rid of that thing that you were doing, and you have that time where you repent and you get right with God and you start serving him again, and God becomes very real to you again, and you give up your backsliding and you start going the way of Christ again. You know, those times can just be so wonderful. Then your singing sounds better, feels better. Your prayers seem like they're actually worth praying. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm not doing well, you know, prayer becomes one of them things that, like, what's the point in doing this? Isn't that true? We don't like to say those things as Christians, but that's true. So when your prayer life gets to that, what's the point in doing this? There's something wrong. Because I have access to pray to the God of the universe who can do absolutely anything. But sometimes in our hearts, there's this thing that we can't even bring ourselves to the place of prayer. We can maybe mutter a few words or say the needs that we have, but there's no real connection in our prayer. And you know what? When the children of Israel in verse 4 got right with God, listen, they served the Lord only. They didn't just carry on with what you were doing with Balaam and, you know, tippy-toeing and walking on the fence. They got really right with God. That was a place of repentance for them. And they got really right with God. And God became their God again. He became important to them again. He became number one to them again. And if you and I have problems and issues with sin in our lives tonight, you know what? If you would just return, in the quietness of your heart, even now in church tonight, in the Bible study tonight, you will find that God will heal your backslidings, that God will forgive your sin. You know, in Hosea 14 verse 4, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. You know what? If you're a backslider tonight, you're not just doing well. Sometimes we hate to think of ourselves as a backslider, okay? So, you know, it's just one of them words that we think, well, man, somebody must be an absolute gross sin if they're a backslider. But it's not even that. You know what? There's plenty of backsliders that come to church every single week. Their hearts just are not where they need to be with God. There's other stuff going on. They're distant. They're not where they should be. They're not doing what they should be. There's no connection with God. We are sliding away from where we should be. You know, God wants you to know that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, no matter how far you have been away or are away, that God can forgive and heal your sin. He can change the situation around. He can get you to the place like he got the children of Israel, a nation that were backslidden, serving other gods, worshiping demonic spirits, and he can get them back to the, he can get you back to the place like they did, where you're worshiping God again and serving him again. You know what? This place, this Ebenezer stone, you know, it was a place where a line in the sand had been drawn. And the children of Israel says, we are no longer going that way. We are going to choose God and we're going to go this way. You know what? I have some certificates in my office, okay? I have one when I done the diploma in Limerick. I have another one I done counseling and psychotherapy in Killinarden, a college place. But I have another one on my wall. And it's my Teen Challenge certificate, okay? And you know what? Out of them all, that's my Ebenezer stone. I can look back to that and know, you know what, that was one that probably was the most important time in my life. That's my Ebenezer stone. I can look at it. It's to the right of my desk. And I can look at it. I point it out to people all the time. But that is a place, when I look at that certificate and I see Davy Black's signature on it, it brings me back to what God done for me. And I think we all need an Ebenezer stone. You could all probably do with a Teen Challenge certificate as well, by the way. But, you know, it's always good to have something that you've completed. But more than that, a place where God met with you, a place where God changed you, a place where you've found repentance, that place where you turned around. You know, when people find real repentance and there's a turning around, we will call that they're having revival. They are changing. There's a reawakening of spiritual things or spirituality with them. And you know what? That will always follow repentance. It will always follow repentance. God will always reconnect with that heart that is repentant and getting right with God. You know what? In this situation, the children of Israel, you know what? They didn't just get right and then carry on doing what they were doing. Their whole lives changed around. They had new things they wanted to do. You know what? It became important to them about getting the yoke of the Philistines off them. You know, they were moved. They started to serve God. They started to, you know, pray to God. They weren't praying to the other gods anymore. Look at verse 6, if you will, with me. The Bible says, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. You know, Samuel called them to return to God, and their actions, and in their actions we see that they did and that they turned around. What are they doing now? They're going from serving other gods, and here they are, they're fasting on that day. They have turned away from their old life, their old actions, their own sin, and they are moving in the way God would have them to move. You know, verse 6 basically tells you about how seriously they took that turning point that they were at. You know, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. You know what? We think it's hot today. Where they were living, it's really hot. Now, we talk about triggers and stuff in the men's home, stuff that will trigger you off into thinking about maybe the wrong things or maybe sometimes the good things. But here they are coming before God, and not only are they fasting, but they're actually going to the water, taking the water out, looking at it, and man, physically I'd love to take a drink of this, but they're pouring it out before God. and they're saying, I want you more than I even want this. You know what? There's been a change in their actions. There's been a change in their lives. You know, they are connecting with God. They are in communion with God. You know, they show a serious commitment on that day. They're fasting on that day. You know, and then we see, you know, where they're at. They're moving forward. They're doing the right thing. They're serious about what they're doing. You know what? They didn't want anything between them and God. The people were moved about spiritual things and spiritual matters. And they were now, you know, taking God serious. You know, the Philistines knew that God was serious. When they had the ark, they were plagued. You know, they were absolutely plagued. They even gave God gifts in a sense as they were getting rid of the ark. They made golden mice and some other stuff and put it on the ark. You know, they knew that God was real. And they wanted God away from them. It didn't get them to turn to God the way the Israelites did. But they just wanted God away from them. You know, but the Israelites, you know, if the Philistines had a turned and we've sinned against the Lord and maybe got right with God, maybe we'd read about them in a different way. But they just wanted rid of God. But the Israelites turned and said, we've sinned against God in verse 6. And you know what? They wanted to get right with God. Look at verse 8 with me. And in verse 8 it says that it's talking about the children of Israel. And it said, they said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Or the Philistines. You know what? Here they are now going to the preacher. Here they are going to the man of God. Well, why weren't they going to him earlier? You know what? Sometimes we turn back to God and turn back to God's people and God's man when we have a real bad need. But here they are turning. They get right with God. Now they're in connection with the preacher. They're in connection with God. And they know they have a problem called the Philistines and they need to get rid of them. And, you know, they start to pray and ask God to help them and ask Samuel to help them. You know, they're changing. They're wanting rid of the yoke of slavery that they're in a sense. And they're moved in themselves. They are different. And God's power starts to be manifest or shown in their lives. I want you to look down at verse 10 and 11. And it says this. It says, and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. And the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord, look at the next word. The Lord thundered, a great thunder, on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them. And they were smitten before Israel. You know what? There's a lot of times we see God stepping into situations. But this way, God manifests his power in an extraordinary way. You know, he doesn't send hail down to kill the Philistines. He doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't, you know, what he does is they just hear, in a sense, God lets a roar at them. God lets a roar at them. And they're so troubled within themselves that they are in serious trouble on the inside. And it sounded like crashing thunder. And, you know, the Philistines were confused. They fled in fear. You know, God had stepped in and moved in the situation in an amazing way. And, you know, he just met the need that they had, answered the prayers that they prayed. And, you know, he just changed the situation around. Now, you know, in this situation, the children of Israel, if you look at verse 12, it says they took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen. And they called it Ebenezer. You know, this is the outworking of not only did they get right with God in this story, in this passage, but God freed them from the yoke of bondage that they were in. And do you know, I don't think it's enough for us to just get right with God and then to struggle in the old sin that we're in. That's not real Christian living. God wants you to get right with him, and he wants to give you the power and the enabling ability to be able to break free of the sin that maybe kept you bound. You know what? This place, this Ebenezer stone, this was a place where they could now look back to. The Philistines had been routed. They had been beat. You know, they had killed them. You know, God had moved. And, you know, in verse 12, they set up this stone, this place of remembrance. You know, tradition says that the stone was a large stone. It wouldn't be fancy or anything like that. And the word Ebenezer was carved in it. It was a memorial stone, a stone of remembrance, a stone that would serve two purposes. One, it would soften their hearts. It would be a stone where as they would walk by, they would be able to see the stone and they'd be able to remember. Let's not go the way we went before. Let's keep serving after God. Let's keep following after God. Let's not walk away again. Do you remember how hard it was when we walked away? You know what? Back in the previous few chapters of you read, you know, there's not even a time, I don't think, where they make definite decisions to walk away from God and serve other gods. It kind of just happens. When you start to make compromise in your life and you small steps in the wrong direction, you do, you know, make some mistakes and you allow stuff that you shouldn't allow in your life, you don't know where it's all going to end up or how long you're going to be away from God. These were away from God for years. And you know what? Life was hard for them for all those years. And for us, I would hope we wouldn't have hard hearts and not cry out to God and not get God's help at our need. Not to have to spend years away from God's presence. You know what? God wanted to help them. As soon as they got right with God, what did he do? He stepped into their lives and rescued them from the situation that they were in and restored them to the people they should be. You know what? That's what God wants to do in our lives. He doesn't want us being bound by sin and struggling with the things of this world. He wants to make you free. God can change things around. You know, this stone, when they thought back about it, when they looked back at it, it would help them to keep soft hearts. You know, but you know, it would also be a strengthened time for them. As you look back, you know, they would remember the victory that they had with the Philistines. You know what? When you've been dominated by certain sin or certain people or whatever it might be in your situation and in their situation, you know, sometimes you think you're never going to be free from it. But when God makes you free and God changes your life and he turns your life around, and like what he done, I mean, he killed all the Philistines. You know, he wiped them out at that point. You know, what you're left with is you're left with a place where when you remember what God has done, it gives you great strength to know, listen, you know what, my life might be going through some trials right now, but God is able to strengthen me. Look what he done the last time. Look what he done before. And you remember that Ebenezer stone in your life, that place of remembrance where you can look back and you can see that God moved in your life. You know what? The Bible goes on, and I'm going to end there, but the situation ends with the end of the passage. And basically, the Philistines never troubled them again all the life of Samuel. When they had Samuel, they had God. They had God's presence with them. Their hearts were connected with God. They were moving in the right direction. They were moving in a place of victory. You know what? At one point, they were afraid. If you read the passage in more detail tonight or tomorrow, you will find that the Israelites feared the Philistines. You know, they panicked when the Philistines all came against them. They went up to worship and all the Philistines came out, all the lords of the Philistines, and they were going to attack Israel. And Israel were terrified and they called for Samuel because they were afraid. You know what? Fear drives us. It can drive us to two places. It can drive us to walk away and hide from what we should do. Or it can drive us to God. A real healthy fear can drive you to God and to call out for God. And you know what? Let me encourage you about something else. You know what? These people went to the man of God in their lives. Having somebody in your life that's your preacher, that's your pastor, that's your leadership, that's, you know, somebody that maybe your father or somebody that you can go to and get spiritual help from is really, really important. But sometimes we don't want to do that because we don't want to look, you know, silly. Our pride gets in the way. We don't want people to judge us if we're doing wrong. But you know what? When you don't come and recognize that you sometimes need help, you know what? You forfeit that help that God could give you. You know, the children of Israel went and cried out and got help from God's man and got help from God. And let me encourage you, we all need that. We all need somebody that we can go to and talk to them. So let me encourage you. You know, we all need that. If you don't have somebody like that, encourage you to find somebody like that. We all need it. You know what? Maybe think back in your own life about what God's done in your life, where he's taken you from, maybe where he saved you, what it was like when you got saved. Remember that joy that you maybe used to have and maybe it's kind of gone a little bit? Maybe think back of, you know what, I got saved. God changed my life. You know, there was a time in my life where I was going a different way and then God moved in, he stepped in and changed me around. You know what, get that place, that Ebenezer stone that you can look back to and you can be strengthened by it. That you can keep your heart soft with it. A place that will just remind you that God moved. And when God moves in the heart, it changes everything. You know what? The world can seem like it has such a strong pull. But when you're right with God and God's moving in your life, you're going to find that the world has no sway over you at all. No power to grip you any longer. But we need to return if we're away. Are you willing to return? You know what? The Israelites, it took them 20 years to return. You know, they were gone for a long time. They were away from God's presence for a long time. They didn't go searching for God for a long time. But things got so difficult for them that they ended up returning. Wouldn't it be so much better if we returned quicker? If we returned straight away? Because many of us lose years and years of our life because we're wandering far away. So let me encourage you. God is real. He is there, always ready for you to return and help you. If you will go to that place where you will get right with God and you will start walking towards him again, that you will repent of whatever you've been doing, and maybe it's just the coldness, maybe it's just, you know, you haven't been going the way you maybe should be going, you know, God can move in and change everything around. But you have to prepare your heart. You know what? It's not like you wake up tomorrow and say, that's it, I'm going to do better today. That's not what it is. It's a heart connection with God that needs to be very real, and that will change your action. But what we'll do is we'll turn over to Mr. Ryan. We'll ask him to come up and close in prayer. And, you know, maybe have a read of it again. Get your own Ebenezer stone place somewhere that you can look back to. It can be a great help and an encouragement in your life.